You know, let's say your backhand's just like not working today, right? And so what you could do is go into the match right afterwards and be like, show me every backhand that I missed. And like within like a minute, you're going to be able to see like what was wrong. Like, was it the footwork? Was it like, you know, your body positioning? Was it like your follow through?
Hi, I'm Crystal Brown, your host. Imagine if your passion for paddle and racket sports led you to step away from your high powered position at Tesla and embark on a new entrepreneurial endeavor. That's precisely what Swapnil Sahai decided to do. He is not only a PhD professor at the University of California, Berkeley, but he was also a data scientist at Tesla, focusing on self-driving cars. Swapnil recognized the immense untapped potential within pickleball and tennis to use that same camera technology and provide incredible data-driven insights via a mobile app, capable of analyzing your game, providing feedback, creating highlight reels, and more, all right on your smartphone. Join us as he shares how Swing Vision is revolutionizing the world of pickleball. Welcome to Simply Pickleball, the podcast where we discuss all things pickleball, the fastest growing sport in America and around the world. We are interviewing the founders, industry leaders, athletes, lovers of the sport that are driving the spectacular growth. If you love pickleball as much as we do, listen in. Well, Swapnil, I'm so excited to get started talking about Swing Vision today. What a great product, what a great software, so much to tell us about. But I also wanted to hear a little bit about why someone would leave their job at Tesla. You're a professor, someone who loves tennis, you know, and we're here to talk about, you know, your product, but also we love pickleball. So let's just get started with, you know, maybe a little bit about, you know, where you started in your career and help us understand how you got here.
Yeah, for sure. Well, firstly, yeah, thank you for having me. Super excited to be here. And yeah, a bit of background. So as you mentioned, I was at Tesla working autonomous driving. Prior to that, I got my PhD in statistics from Columbia. So I actually originally wanted to be a professor, but I just got super addicted after I did like an internship at Tesla and had a lot of fun working in industry and just like the pace of innovation. I got just hooked. And then I've also been a lifelong athlete, mostly playing tennis and basketball, and then more recently pickleball, of course. And I just wanted to get data on my game, and there wasn't really a solution out there for that. You have Strava for, you know, if you're like a running, if you're running or, you know, a cyclist.
Right.
But there wasn't really anything for like racket sports or ball sports even in general. And it makes sense. Like, it's a tricky problem. Like, you can't just solve it with like a GPS tracker on your phone. Like, you need something a little bit more sophisticated than that, right? And so I didn't really know like how I would solve it, but it was kind of in the back of my mind for many years, actually. But it wasn't until I worked at Tesla that I realized like, oh, actually, maybe we could use cameras to solve this problem. And so when I was at Tesla, I was specifically working on like tracking cars and pedestrians using cameras. So I got super experienced in just computer vision in general while I was there. And then that's where kind of like the spark, you know, came. I was like, oh, wait, we could use an iPhone camera to do this maybe. And we could track your stats automatically.
Right. Well, so, I mean, it's a much more sophisticated problem, autonomous driving. So self-driving cars, obviously, that's, I live in San Francisco. I see them driving around all the time. Maybe some listeners have seen them, maybe some haven't, but it's a sophisticated problem versus maybe understanding your data, your own data and statistics on how you play tennis or pickleball. Why do you think you even wanted to know your stats? Like, what do you think drives us to want to know more about our game?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're playing these sports, you naturally want to improve. You're always trying to find a way to get better. And obviously, one option is to get a coach, but that's really expensive. And, you know, especially if you're kind of like an amateur athlete, it's a little bit hard to justify like having a coach all the time, every week. And obviously, your coach can't come to every match you play, right? So I think it's really just about, you know, how can I get better? And there isn't really like a good way to get better if you just think about like match play. You might remember a few things like, oh, my forehand was a little bit off or whatever it is, but like, it's really hard to really kind of put that down objectively. It's just kind of whatever you happen to remember or whatever you subjectively feel. So I think that was the biggest gap there. And it was like, it'd be so nice. And obviously it was like a dream. It was like, I mean, I don't think this would really be possible, but it was like, it'd be cool if I could get that data, the same data we see on TV when you're watching Wimbledon, they track all these amazing stats. So like, there should be a way, but it just didn't exist.
Yeah. A lot of other sports have, you know, I was actually a swimmer, and way back in the day, we would watch ourselves. Even they had, you know, underwater cameras, and we would watch our strokes. But why for the amateur is this hard? Like, it, you know, what are they using that we couldn't use for ourselves, right? Why did we need a new solution?
So like in tennis and I guess pickleball as well, like at the professional level, you can set up a lot of cameras because you have the budget to do that. And so the best solution in the world for this, for tracking your stats, is Hawkeye, which is what's used in the Grand Slams. And they also, Hawkeye is used in other sports too. It's not just tennis actually, but they have multiple cameras around the court. They have like a gigantic server that's like processing all the cameras. At most of these tournaments, it's actually like below the stadium, like in the ground. It's kind of crazy. So they have like a secret bunker where they're processing everything. So it's just, it's really expensive. And something like that costs like tens of thousands of dollars, you know, to install and set up. So it's was there, but it wasn't there at the amateur level. That was the big thing that we did, which was like, hey, let's try to just put this in your phone. Like AI has gotten to a point now where like we should be able to do this now at a good enough accuracy that like an amateur would find acceptable.
Yeah. And I want to get into the individual features. I'm curious though, you know, when you were thinking about how to create this product, did you think there was going to be a market for it? Were you thinking, yeah, there's going to be a lot of other people like me, like even like you said, Strava or some of the running apps, like what do people do with that data? Like maybe you have a data background, but how are we going to understand it? What are we going to do with it? So how did you think about that?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think I definitely had some concerns in the early days that like maybe this is just for like the data geeks out there. And like this is going to be, you know, super small market actually. So that was certainly a concern initially. And I think that's some of the pushback we got from VCs too, which is like, okay, stats is great, but like who's really going to care about that? I just kind of still felt like there's some value in creating this tool. And even if it doesn't end up becoming a big market, I'd like to just see it exist and like see where it goes. And I think in retrospect now, it's funny because I think a lot of that feedback was correct. Like stats ended up not even becoming the thing that most people use. It's actually the video review, which is what you alluded to. And that's actually the most popular feature of Swing Vision. It's not even the data. And the data is cool because like you can see it on top of the video, but it's really the fact that I can see this video, I can watch my match really efficiently. Like that's actually become more compelling. And then more recently now, we also have like line calling, which is again, another thing that we weren't really thinking about early days, but it's just kind of cool that we just pursued it anyway. And then we kind of just saw these other things that came about based on what the market told us. And we just kind of went in that direction. Short answer is like, I honestly wasn't that confident that this was going to be super big market initially, but I think I've gotten more confidence over time.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the entrepreneur journey, right? Like you want to solve a problem for yourself, but then the question is that a problem for everyone else? And sometimes it's not the exact problem, but you're on to something. So maybe you can just give a little bit of background on like, you know, where the product started and where it is now. Like, you know, if you could describe it, I'm hoping that listeners will download the app and we'll put links and get a swing stick. But, you know, what's the concept? Like what have you built?
Yeah. So at the most fundamental level, it's an app on your phone. You set up your phone behind the court. I actually have a swing stick here to show you.
Oh, good. So
this is the best way to set up. You just hook this on the fence. You stick your phone right here. It's really easy to set up, and you basically put on the back fence and you just hit record. And so the very first version of Swing Vision, the way it would work is once the phone is recording, it would be tracking the ball trajectory in real time. So we'd see the ball going back and forth. It would track like, where are you making contact with the ball in the court? Where is it landing? So you'd get stats on like, you know, where are your shots actually landing? You'd see like a heat map of that. And then over time, we added the ability to like show you that heat map overlaid on the video. So you could watch a video of your match and you'd see like, as soon as the ball bounces, a little animation of like where it's landing. And so people really like that. That was like a big thing when we added that about 6 months after launch. As the stats start to get more accurate, we realized that, well, actually we're tracking all the shots. So we actually know when you're not playing tennis. So we could remove that out of the video. So then that was the next thing we started doing, was like, we'd show you just the points that you're actually playing, remove all the time when you're like taking a break and having water, you know, on the side of the court, picking up balls.
Interesting. Make it
and
simple.
So then people really like that because they're like, wow, I have a 2-hour match. I can watch it in 20 minutes. Like, this is incredible. It's like literally saving me time. And so that ultimately became like the really, really most popular feature.
Why do people want to know where the ball lands? I mean, I have a guess, but like, what's the feedback you're getting? Like, what are they learning?
I think for a lot of people at a high level, at least in tennis, it's just like, how deep are you hitting? Because in tennis, you want to push people back and you don't want to give them an opportunity to like come to the net and close it out. And so am I getting good depth on my shots, especially like when I'm returning the serve? Am I like pushing them back? Am I not allowing them to come into the net? So I think that was a big thing. And also it was just accuracy. Like, you know, is it my forehand down the line or is it like my backhand cross court? Like, what's the most accurate shot? And so knowing how often you hit it in versus out is very useful. And then like same thing applies to serves as well. So, you know, I think that's what people have used it for the most. Just on the video, like being able to see the stats on top of the video is just so cool because it just makes your match feel like it's like a pro match. Like, you know, pretty only pros get access to that data. So it's just kind of cool to see like that shot speed that you hit and all that. It's just, I think it's just fun for people to see. So I think even from that standpoint, it's like entertainment basically.
Right. Your own match. That's actually a really good point. So you had mentioned that you started with tennis because that was what you played. And what happened when you decided to go into pickleball? And did you play pickleball before you started down the path of pickleball with Swing Vision, or like, did that happen at the same time?
Yeah, it's funny. I actually, the first time I played pickleball, I think was like the first time we started recording data for it. So I think I was already convinced that this was going to be a big market just based on anecdotal, you know, feedback, and also just looking at the data. Like there were some reports that there was already more people who had tried pickleball in like 2022. Than tennis. So like, it was kind of clear that like from the data, there's a lot of people actually playing it. And then even just like in conversation with people who play avidly, this is clear. This wasn't just like an NFT thing. Like this is like a real phenomenon. It's very sticky, right? It's not just like a bubble. And it just seems to keep increasing. Facilities are investing a lot of money in installing new courts. Like that's a pretty big investment to make. So I think it seemed pretty clear that like the entire country really is moving in this direction. And so that gave us enough confidence to just go to that. And then also is the fact that like, it's very similar to tennis. So like if we were going to do a second sport, like this would be the first choice because it's so similar and we already know how to do it.
And you mentioned you're getting like all kinds of comments about.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Didn't mention that part. Yeah. So like we were running ads on Instagram, which up until now has been sort of like our best paid channel. This was for tennis and all the comments were like, when is this coming for pickleball? When is this coming for pickleball? And so at that point, then it was, you know, it was pretty obvious the demand was high.
But some tennis purists would be like, okay, whatever. I hear you pickleball, but tennis is a big enough market and we don't need to like try to take on two things. So for you to make that decision, there must have been some other, I mean, you're running a business, you're running, you know, you want growth. So you must have been convinced that there was a good market to kind of, you know, take on more.
Yeah. I think we felt like we'd achieved product market fit in tennis at that point. And, you know, our retention numbers are quite good for like a consumer subscription product. So we felt like we've nailed sort of like the core experience. We know like what people want to expect. And obviously you can always improve the product, but I think we felt pretty comfortable that we were at product market fit. So then I was like, okay, now let's try to expand, you know, the market at this point. And it's just like, let's bring the same thing to pickleball. And then, you know, we'll do the same thing to other sports in the future. But now we sort of have like the playbook down of like the core experience. Like what do people really want to see in there?
Well, so yeah, let's dive into that because you mentioned kind of what people want to see when they play tennis. And it resonated for me because when you are dinking in the kitchen and people say, you know, like a dead dink, or you want to make sure that you get to the corners or, you know, set up for an Ernie or set up for, you know, an around the post, you know, I imagine that could be really useful because, you know, a lot of players, as they get better, they want to know, like, because same thing, you want to keep the opponents back.
Yeah.
And so are you like, or your serve, it really is a lot of the same things that you mentioned. But you know, have from the initial feedback, are you providing that for the pickleball players? Are they saying, yes, this is exactly what I needed to know about how to improve?
So right now what we've done is it's sort of like a light version. We're not really showing you like all that data in that detailed form quite yet. We're tracking all of it, but we're just showing you more like accuracy on different shots and like your serves and all that. But that is the feedback we're getting is like people want to be able to look at dink specifically. They want to look at like their third shots. You know, where is that landing? What's this potentially the speed of the third shots? Like, are they making sure that they're actually like keeping the opponents back out of the, you know, out of the kitchen and all that? So
yeah. I think
that's going to be the next thing we'll do. But that's what's nice about what we build at Swing Vision is like, we're tracking the entire ball trajectory. We're tracking like where it's landing. So like, it's very easy to like add these stats later, but for now we just kind of like put it out in the market and like, let's see what people say. But yeah, we're hearing a lot of what you're talking about. And that's what we're going to try to do throughout this year is try to add more of those like specific stats that like pickleball players really care about, you know, as opposed to tennis, which is a little bit different.
And also because there's doubles, how has that, I mean, there's doubles in tennis also, but
yeah.
I would say the majority of pickleballers play,
mm-hmm.
probably the former tennis players still want to play singles, but if you're new to pickleball, but so if you're playing, you know, your doubles, it's a smaller court. Like how's that worked for the app and, you know, what adjustments have you had to make?
Yeah, it's interesting. It is challenging. One thing that was pretty fascinating was that, you know, with tennis, it's really easy to see like when the racket makes contact with the ball. because you can see through the strings. But in pickleball, you can't do that. So at least for like the players on the near side who are kind of like in between the camera and the ball, it's not, it's a little bit ambiguous as to like when the rackets or the paddle's making contact with the ball. And so we're actually working on some new approaches to incorporate audio for the first time. That's something that we've never done at Swing Vision. But we're going to start incorporating audio because it's really important to get like that timing right if you want to calculate the speed and all those kind of things. And so that was just kind of fascinating that like that was an interesting challenge for pickleball. And then I think in general, yeah, if you have like doubles, then you just have like more occlusions of the ball. So like tracking gets a little bit more challenging. But we've had that problem in tennis too, and it's pretty much just like a data problem. And as long as we get more data, we can have pretty good estimates still of like where the ball is landing, even if it's being occluded by the players actually.
That's so great. It's so great that you have such a good data background, because I think that's really like being able to like make sense of data, collecting it is one thing. And I've always thought that about like, okay, so I know what my heart rate is all day long, but what am I doing with that data? You know, so it's in this case, it's really important to like synthesize it. So, so when you just launched in November, right, with the pickleball part, and are you getting really good? You know, are you getting a lot of comments and feedback about what people want to see? Maybe too many comments.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, first of all, people just absolutely love it, and they've tried so like some other things in the market that came out. There was actually a couple other software that came out just before we did last year, but everybody said this just kind of blows it out of the water, which is good to hear too. And I think that's just because of the lead we've already had in tennis. So we kind of know what we're doing already, and we've solved a lot of the hard stuff to get it to work on your phone and all that. So I think that feedback's great. People just really enjoy the highlights already, which that was at this point now we expect people to enjoy the highlights. We know that's the most popular feature. And then the thing everybody's been asking for is scoring. So that's something we haven't added yet, but we're going to add it at some point in early 2024. So that's where like you can record a match and then it'll automatically add a scoreboard onto your video, because it'll automatically detect who won every single point. So that's something we just launched in tennis actually in December. So we're going to bring that to pickleball pretty soon as well, which is going to be awesome.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I mean, I can really see and like line calls, like those are things that are so tough in, you know, pickleball in general. And again, like people get super competitive, even at the amateur level, you know, that's where you people get super heated. So I want to talk a little bit, I want to get back to more of the features and building software, but tell me, I mean, again, I've been an entrepreneur, I've worked at many startups. It's, you don't have to go the venture route, and you don't have to, you know, sort of raise money, even you can keep it kind of a small business, but you didn't, you decided to kind of go for it. And I'm curious if you can share a little bit about like that journey. Again, you're a professor and you're a professional and you have a job, but you decide to become an entrepreneur and start a business, and it's risky and it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, so when I was first fundraising for Swing Vision, when I was at Tesla, I did try to go the VC route from the get-go, and we just got a lot of pushback on like market size and all that. So it was really hard to get any sort of funding at that point. So what we ended up doing was just getting angel funding. So we did a really small round. Our first round was like 250K, and that was enough to get us our MVP of Swing Vision launch on the App Store. And that was when Andy Roddick, you know, former world number one tennis player, came in, and a few other folks that we knew like in the Valley. So it wasn't like a lot of people for that first round, and it was just like an angel round. Got going, and then we raised a little bit more money after MVP. We had interest from more angels, and then we went to Techstars, so that helped a lot. So once we went to Techstars, then we were able to expand the network a little bit. And then what was really kind of convenient was that the program we went through was a sports tech specific accelerator, and it was in partnership with Tennis Australia. So that's the organization that manages tennis in the country of Australia. They, you know, want to improve the sport and grow it. And they also run the Australian Open, which is one of the four Grand Slams. So they have like such an incredible network, obviously. And right at that time, they were actually launching their first VC fund as well. So the timing was like perfect, basically. So then once we got through the Techstars program, then Tennis Australia was our first like venture capital round. So then they led our seed round. And then, you know, a few other angels came in on that round. And then finally, when it came time for Series A, then, you know, we already had like some VC backing at that point with Techstars and Tennis Australia. So then it was a little bit more straightforward to like get into those conversations, because we already had some buy-in at that point. But it was a struggle for sure. I think, you know, starting out was really hard. And yeah, you can make the argument like it's even more ridiculous that I left Tesla considering we'd only raised 250K. Like that's so tiny. but it was getting pretty busy for me. Like I was working at Tesla and then the evening I was still like working on Swing Vision and then like trying to get all these pitches going. So it was just taking a toll. And my parents saw that, my family saw that. And so they were just like, you should just do this. Like, this sounds like a really good idea. This is like, you're still young. You have a lot of time to make mistakes. Like you should go for it, which was amazing. So I have to give credit to my family for being really supportive. Yeah. I think I'm very risk averse. So like I myself didn't even want to do it. I was still sort of like trying to hedge my bets. And I was like, no, maybe I should stay at Tesla just in case it doesn't work out. But I'm so glad they pushed me and like it worked out. But it's definitely very risky. I did not want to do it. I'm like the worst person. I just try to do things by the book.
Well, you probably are risk averse because you're a data person. So like any data you could not give data to anyone who decides to start a company that would prove that you should start a company.
Yeah, it's always value, like, the math doesn't work at all. You know?
Yeah. But your path is really interesting because I think that is actually the successful route if you can make it happen, which is, you know, raising angel from someone in the industry that gives you proof of sort of like some validation as entrepreneurs and going to an accelerator program, which if listeners don't know, it really does help with mentorship and learning parts of the business you don't know. And then Techstars has relationships outside of that. And so having the sports tech, I think that makes a lot of sense. And even the first VC, those connections and contacts that maybe you wouldn't have had otherwise. And so I think that's really interesting. And I think, you know, so again, like you could probably have stayed in tennis, the tennis world, which is much more established. And so going into pickleball, like what's your sort of hope for, you know, like do you view Swing Vision as sort of like, you know, you've got tennis and you're going to sort of see what happens with pickleball, or is it starting to, you know, kind of take 50-50 of your time?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think we're still trying to figure out like how deep we want to go in these sports, or do we want to go more broad, sort of like a Strava and like add on additional sports? I think the tricky part is like there's a lot that needs to be built for every sport, right? And you have to like kind of start from the ground up with like building the training data and getting the AI models. And like there's so many models for each sport. So it is a bit complex. So I think that's like something we're still, I guess, figuring out. We are seeing a lot of promise in terms of officiating. So like on the tennis side, there's a big demand to solve line calling at like competition level in juniors and college tennis. And I suspect that's going to be very similar in pickleball. So I think there's definitely something there in terms of going really deep on the officiating side for both of those sports. But then at the kind of more consumer facing side, where it's more about like highlights and stats, and it's more of like almost like a social network for sports at that point, then it makes sense to maybe add more sports. But I think we're still evaluating. We are pretty committed to going to another racket sport this year. So paddle has been growing, or some people say padel. That's growing really quickly outside of the US. And so I think that's an interesting opportunity, but it doesn't quite have the same problems in terms of like line calling, because it's pretty clear cut because you have the glass walls. But, you know, at least from the consumer standpoint, that one makes a lot of sense. And that's sort of what we've been hearing in the Instagram comments lately is like, when are we going?
Well, it is interesting because, you know, even the trend of video, right? Like now how anyone's consuming their social media or even just media in general is going in the direction. I've been hearing a lot about like, you know, some of these old school Netflix type, you know, companies take over like the TikTok way of producing content, short form content. And that if you have that short form content, making it really easy for people, I can see how that would be a feature that may become more important. But then again, it's like, who's the paying user? And, you know, even in pickleball, you know, having a foot fault on the kitchen line is a big issue, right? Like if you, so, you know, or even, you know, just touching the line itself or even on a serve touching the kitchen line. So I can see some really important and growth there. And to your point, like Australia has really picked up pickleball. It's growing internationally in a lot of the Asian countries. So you do have that opportunity. So how do you split your time in terms of like, you know, what's your day like? I mean, do you even have time to play tennis or pickleball anymore?
No, I've been playing a decent amount. It was pretty funny actually. This past Wednesday is a good example. So this was the first day of the semester for Berkeley. So I teach at Berkeley. I teach a data science class there. So yeah, I like went to Berkeley in the morning. I gave a lecture, and it was like packed. This is the biggest class on campus. So it's like 1500 students.
That's so awesome. Good for you.
It's super fun. And it's funny because like every semester I've been teaching, like more and more people are familiar with Swing Vision already, which is awesome. So they're all super excited and kind of shocked that like I'm teaching them. And then I just like head over to our Berkeley office. So we actually have an office in Berkeley just off campus. We work there. Our machine learning team is based there. So I'm kind of there. And then it's a mix of like meetings. Sometimes I'm reviewing some code. I still do that a little bit. But it's mostly just like meetings and sometimes like spreadsheets and stuff like that, mapping out the quarter and whatever kind of boring CEO stuff. Check in with the entire machine learning team. And then actually after work, we'll go play tennis. So then we play tennis at the official UC Berkeley courts. We have this like team tennis that we do on Wednesdays. So that's super fun. We test out the app, of course. We try the latest build, report any issues. So as soon as I walk off the court, I'm just like, you know, typing all the issues. I'm sure my IS engineers are really upset about that. But I try to just send it because I don't want to forget to report anything. So I'm sending it in our bugs channel. And then actually I had to go then do a night lecture because for the first lecture, it's like so big. We don't even have a large enough lecture hall on campus. So we actually do two lectures. So then right after tennis, I go quickly, like change, freshen up, and then like go give another lecture. So that was more of the crazy days. Most days aren't like that, but that was a pretty entertaining mix of things. But yeah, no, in general, definitely still playing. And we try to do team tennis. We have another office in San Mateo, which is more like the product team. And so we'll do team tennis there too, team pickleball as well now. So it's been super fun.
So it sounds like actually kind of a fun day. It's interesting. They there's probably many, many students around the world that want to hear your lecture. So hopefully they're recording them because data science is so big.
It's all on YouTube.
Definitely. In terms of the features for pickleball, what's the sort of next step for you? Where's that on the roadmap? And like maybe even on a growth sort of separate question, but also like what's the growth you've seen recently?
Yeah, I mean it's still super early. You know, like the pickleball subscriber base is still like going to be less than like 5% of the tennis base overall, at least just because we just launched it like a month ago. We've had tennis for like 4 years. But it's picking up fast. Like it's growing pretty fast percentage wise. We'll see where things are by the end of the year. I'm hoping like it'll get to 50-50 at some point in the next year or two.
Maybe after this video, if everyone will subscribe. They should subscribe to the video and they should also subscribe and download the app.
I'll report back on the numbers. That'd be cool to see. It's just been sort of right now we're just trying to get pickleball up to parity. So we launched the very first version in November. We didn't have line challenges initially, actually. So then we just added line challenges at the end of December. And then right now we're working on adding the scoring part and the automated scoring. So that should come out later in Q1. So it's coming all soon. And then from there, we'll just be like continuing to improve the accuracy. Because I think we, at that point, we'll have sort of the core product experience. Obviously, we'll want to add some of these like stats that people are asking for that are more pickleball specific, but that won't be too crazy. And then a big thing we're working on later this year is providing coaching feedback. So this is something we have never really done before, but we kind of need the scoring to do this. And the way it's going to work is basically if you play a match, then afterwards, we'll actually be able to tell you like what strategies were working the best, for you in terms of like winning the point, and then which strategies were actually resulting in you losing the point. Like maybe stop hitting those that way, or don't do that strategy, or just go work on it. Maybe there's some other issue. So it's basically going to give you like a playbook of like how you should be playing, what shots you should hit. It's kind of going to focus more on those like first few shots that like set up the rally. But if there's a shot like at the very end of a rally that you're struggling with, or some setup that you did that you shouldn't have, we'll give you that feedback as well. But that's gonna be the first time that we're gonna give coaching feedback, which is gonna be pretty exciting. And so hoping to bring that.
And just to be clear, this coaching feedback is AI driven, right? It's gonna be based on the model. It's not a person yet. You could send it to a person.
That's right. Yeah. This is all just automatically determined by the app, which is pretty cool. Yeah. But I think separate to that, which is the second other thing we're going to work on, is actually connecting you with a human coach. So that's something that we've seen happen a lot already in the tennis market. So people will like go record a match and then they'll send it to a coach and they want to get like really detailed feedback on like their form or something like that. And so we want to build a way for the coach to be able to like draw on top of the video and like leave comments, whether it's like text or audio. So, it'll be like a nice condensed little highlight reel of your coaching feedback. And in like 2 minutes, you can just, you know, get a lesson effectively. So that's kind of the other part of what we're trying to do.
I think that's amazing. It's probably going to, that's another growth factor. Could you replace our current rating systems, for example, or should they be nervous? I know we've talked to some people at Duper, and there's the US tennis rating that also has pickleball rating. Could you partner with them? Could you, forget about exactly how the business runs, but because this is a really big issue. I don't actually know how big of an issue it is in tennis, but for pickleball, it becomes a big issue because you have no way of knowing who you want to play with. Really, it's very like, yeah, I'm a 3-5, I'm a 4-0. People are kind of guessing, even the way that the Duper works right now. So I'm just curious, have they approached you? Have you thought about it? What do you think about the ratings?
Yeah, they've approached us. We've talked with them a little bit. In tennis, one of the rating agencies actually tried to acquire us. So I think they can see that we have that potential. And, you could imagine we have even more detailed data because we don't just have the final scores. We know like every single point, like how fast the shot's being hit, we have all this data, how fast you're running. Like we can just make the best rating system ever if we really wanted to. I don't think it's priority for us right now, but I do definitely hear that in the feedback and both on tennis and pickleball. Where, you can't really trust someone's rating. Like it's only like so granular, right? So I think it'd be incredible if we could really become the best way to match players together. But I think that's probably more of a long-term thing. And we need a lot more people on the platform for that to become, super effective. So we'll see. I think it's certainly not a focus for us right now, but I think it's a very interesting area. So, we'll see what happens with that.
Right. You kind of have to follow as a business, you have to follow like, where are you making money? And can you describe that, by the way, before what is your business model?
So it's pretty much just like a subscription model. So, you can download the app for free. You can record a couple hours a month for free just to try it out. But like anybody who's going to become an active user is going to subscribe. And the subscription gets you up to 30 hours of recording a month. And we also provide lifetime cloud storage. So like you can have matches going back several years. We'll store them forever. So there's no cap on that. We don't put any like data limits or anything. Yeah, so that's basically what the subscription gets you. And then also you get some additional features like the line calling and the automated scoring and all that. So, that's all part of it too. But yeah, it's primarily subscription-based. We don't have any ads in the app or anything like that. We care a lot about like user privacy and all that. So, we try to just do it that way.
Why would you want to provide cloud storage for life? What does that help that, does that help you? Does it help the user? What was that decision based on?
I think it was just based on like what we thought the ideal customer experience would be, which is like, these videos are big. It's like, 5-10 gigabytes sometimes, at least in tennis. Pickleball is a little bit smaller because the games are faster. But, we figured people don't want to have to like manage all the recordings on their own and like on their own hard drive or anything like that. Like it should feel like iCloud or Google Photos. Like it's just assumed that like it's going to be there forever. And like, why wouldn't it be, right? So I think like that's part of why we did it. What we're realizing now is it helps make the product more sticky because like it's a high switching cost if you're going to leave, right? So from like a business standpoint, actually it makes sense. We weren't even really thinking of that initially, but it is actually like very helpful from a retention perspective because you don't want to lose all your videos. And then ultimately it's not that high cost for us to store the old videos because like we mainly incur costs when you actually like watch the videos. Storage is like so cheap now that it's like it doesn't really affect our margins too much. So we're happy to keep them as long as you're a subscriber and that'll allow you to continue watching them if you want to go back. And we want to do really cool things eventually, like show you like your year in review or things like that, right? So you can imagine some really cool highlights that like span across time. So, those are some things that we'd really love to do eventually. But I think it's gonna be so fun to be able to go back to like matches from several years ago and be like, whoa, wow, like I actually hit that shot back then. Like that was such a fun one.
Or look how much I've improved.
Yeah, exactly. How much you improved.
I think that's where I feel like this kind of, even if it's the swing vision rating, which is like, look how much you've improved over the year, look how much your dinks have improved, your roll volleys or whatever, like you've mastered certain shots. I could really see that. So that makes a lot of sense. In general, like what your trajectory is. But now we had talked a little bit about you're just iPhone right now, and you had some really good reasons for that, that that wasn't just because you like Apple or you like the iPhone, but there were some real issues around that.
Yeah, that's been pretty contentious. That's also the other most popular comment we get on Instagram. I should say discussion because there's always follow-up threads there. But yeah, we're not on Android famously. And obviously we love Apple. We have the Apple Design Award and all that. But we do want to go to Android, like the point of the company is to make this accessible to everybody. So, you know, we're trying to go as fast as we can. But yeah, it's just really been the hardware requirements. We need to make sure that the camera can record at 60 frames per second. We need to make sure that it can actually, stay recording for at least 2 hours, at least for like a tennis match, without overheating. And it needs to be able to run our AI fast enough to keep up with the 60 frames per second of video, because we want to be able to provide real-time feedback and like line calls and all that. So, those three things are pretty big barriers. And so on the iPhone side, you can go all the way back to an iPhone 11 and it checks off all three of those things. But on the Android side, there's no device right now that does all three. Usually there's like one piece that's missing. Like, so for example, with a Pixel phone, it overheats too quickly, but it checks off the other two. And then with like Samsung phones, they're like really, really solid. But for some reason, they don't let developers access the camera beyond 30 frames per second. So there's like one thing here or there. It's like, it feels like we're really close, but it's just like one thing always preventing us. But I'm hoping this is the year. I'm hearing really good things about the new S24 that just came out. I think there's a pretty good chance it's going to support 60 FPS, which would basically give us the green light. So we're really, really close. I'm really hoping we can get to Android soon, but it's certainly not intentional from our side.
Well, no, and I think it's good for the listeners to hear, and even just for you to explain, like, this is not that you're not building it or that you couldn't. It's that there are limitations on the hardware. The actual phones themselves don't provide what you need, and Apple does. So you did win an Apple award. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Every year Apple gives out this Apple Design Award. So it's kind of like the best apps in terms of design every year. And so they give it out to 6 apps. It's like just like a lifelong dream for any app developer, I think, to win this. And we honestly didn't think we were going to win it. I think we thought it was like too late for us to win it at this point or something. But it was pretty cool. Like, we won it last year. We won it for the innovation category and specifically, which was amazing. That's and Duolingo was one of the other winners. So it's like some heavy hitters. Marvel won for one of their like video games that they made. So it was cool to be among those apps, given how small our team is. I think it's a good recognition for just kind of what we've built. Obviously, we're taking advantage of the phone really, really heavily, arguably more than any other app, because we're really pushing the limits of your camera. We're really pushing the limits of your battery. We're pushing the limits of the neural engine and like the AI processing. I think you're just doing so much with your phone. It's kind of like a miracle this even works on your phone, because it's so, so intense.
Right.
So I think, Apple definitely loves that, and it's awesome to get the recognition from them.
Yeah. And I think Apple cares a lot about health and wellness, and they have put some energy into, right, like what are the apps and what are the products, your watch, et cetera. You do have a tie-in with the watch, right? There's some element with can you explain that?
Yeah, there is. And I think there's a lot more we want to do there, but, right now, so if you get an Apple Watch, which we highly recommend, not just because we like Apple again, but because it makes the app experience way better. So like, when you're trying to set up the camera, you can just check the camera on your watch and like, oh yeah, the court looks good. Like, everything looks good here. You can start the recording. You can end the recording. You can start another recording without having to go back to your phone. So like, that alone, I think, makes it worth it. But then on top of that, you can also challenge line calls. So if there's like a close call, you can just go on your watch and be like, oh, let's take a look at that shot. And it'll actually show you like a little replay video zoomed in around the ball. And so you can actually verify. It's super fun, and you can go like with your opponent and be like, oh, look, it's actually in. So that's like really cool. And then the third thing is like being able to keep score, which we haven't added for pickleball yet, but that's going to come this quarter. And so you can actually just like update scores in real time if that's something you want to do, because sometimes in real time you maybe get confused, like, is it the first serve, is it the second serve, like what's going on?
Oh my God.
all that confusion is
those two issues. Even in the nicest of games with the nicest of people playing, it's frustrating because, and then you it becomes like in the back of your head, you're thinking, well, they're going to call everything out that's in, or they can't ever keep track of the score. Or sometimes I play with people who literally cannot start the point until we've all debated the score. Even though it's just a rec game, right? But like, we're sitting there for 5 minutes, like, no, it's and it's not like the end of the game. It's just somewhere in the middle of the game. It just becomes like a brain teaser, like who remembers exactly what. So I think that could be really helpful. And I do think it's like a sort of a new and a sort of fabulously new way of improving that we're not used to, right? Like you said, we're used to having a coach. Maybe you meet once a week. Maybe it's $100 a visit. You know, or you take lessons, but you know, you're not really getting individual, information back some, you know, whatever they catch, but this seems very, I mean, new and for people to get used to too, right? Like if how used to are they to both set up something, you know, before I play, I'm going to get this set up, but also to start interpreting data, which is something you love, but for people to really, you've figured out a way to make it really easy for people to interpret the data. They don't have to be a data scientist or a professor to know how they're playing.
Sometimes it's not even like the data itself. It's just like combining it with the video and like using it to your advantage. So like an example of this is like, you know, let's say your backhand's just like not working today, right? And so what you could do is go into the match right afterwards and be like, show me every backhand that I missed. And so you're not actually even caring about the data at that point, but you're using the data to like filter the video and you're looking at your mistakes. And like within like a minute, you're going to be able to see like what was wrong. Like, was it the footwork? Was it like, you know, your body positioning? Was it like your follow through? Like you'll be able to see that right away in the video, and it'll take you like 2 minutes to do this. And there's like probably no faster way to improve. And it's really funny because like that was the issue before. It was like you had that subjective feeling like, oh, my backhand felt off. But now you can actually look at it and like see what went wrong and like self-diagnose and get better. And then hopefully eventually we'll be able to auto-diagnose it for you. But for now, if you're like experiencing that, just figure it out and be like, oh, okay, that's clearly like I was doing this wrong. I just got to fix that next time.
I think that's fascinating. And I think, you know, there's so much growth in youth. So, you know, youth game, right? Youth playing at schools is going to increase because college is now increasing. And, you know, the younger generations, a lot of the players in San Francisco are in their 20s. You know, they were either former tennis players or they just, their friends play and they're getting into it. And so they're really familiar with a lot of these tools. And tracking their behavior and so tying this in, I think, and maybe some of the older generations too, you know, I don't know, but I we'll see how, I mean, they're all on, everyone's on Facebook. My parents are in their 80s and they're on Facebook. So, I mean, they're figuring it out and they certainly have iWatches and iPhones, but.
We have subscribers like as old as like 75 and they're using the app every time they play and they love it. So it's obviously a little bit more of a learning curve sometimes if they're not as tech savvy, but once you get used to it, like you said, it's just like a behavior change. Once you get used to it, then it's like, it becomes a routine. It's just like anything else.
So what's your best way of, you know, obviously I hope everyone will watch this video and they'll learn who you are. You're just kind of an amazing entrepreneur and advocate for the sport. But how else are you getting the word out? You know, building partnerships or, you know, letting people know about the app? Like what's kind of working for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, we've tried a few things. You know, we've tried some partnerships with facilities. It like worked okay, but I think there's still something more me to do there in terms of building a better model out for facilities. But yeah, you know, it's really just been kind of using social media a lot to just post like content from our customers, because everybody will, you know, find really good rallies. You have this ability to like favorite a rally in the app. And so that's been really helpful for us to like source really good points, and we'll share those on social media. And it really just showcases the app. And honestly, like the word of mouth has just been so strong. Like people will post their own rallies onto Instagram or TikTok or YouTube, even if you want to do like a longer one. And that's been just an excellent way. And what's really cool is like we built this feature last year where, you know, you're recording in landscape, so you're trying to get the whole court, but you can export a highlight reel of a really good rally in vertical. And so what it'll do is it'll just vertically follow the ball, and it always keeps the ball in frame automatically. And it looks so good on Instagram. And so I like constantly like will post that on my Instagram after I play like a good match. There's like a really fun rally. I'll just post it on there and it looks so great. It's like perfect for vertical content.
I need to follow you. I haven't.
yeah, you should.
Do you think that, so where are people viewing this mostly? On their phones? Are they kind of going back to their computers? Are they looking on iPad?
Like most people are doing it on the phone, but what's nice is like any video you record, it gets automatically uploaded to our cloud, and then you can watch it on our website. So even if you don't have the app, you can just go to our website, log in on your computer, and you can watch any match you've ever played. So a lot of people do that. And people will sometimes airplay AirPlay it from their phone to their TV because they want to see it on the big screen. So
yeah,
some people who are really into it love doing that. And that's super fun to do with like family. Like I'll do that with my parents sometimes. I'll want to show them some really fun points from the last match that we did at Team Tennis. So then I'll put it on the TV. And so yeah, it's just kind of however people want to use it. But I think on the phone is probably the most common. But we're trying to design better for like larger screens too, because like that really lets you see all the action properly, like a professional game basically.
Well, I was imagining in my head that there's going to be all of these players that have YouTube channels that everyone's going to want to watch their highlight reels, right? And because not everybody does want to sit through an entire, and pickleball is pretty fast and I think it is actually interesting to watch, but maybe not everybody wants to watch, but they might, Jack Sock, who just moved over from Wimbledon and, Wimbledon winner. And now it's like, I want to see his highlight reels. And so you're sort of creating this really easy way, even if he's just practicing. So that's awesome. I have kind of an entrepreneur, advisor, investor brain. So I can now think of like a million other things that from a business perspective, which we'll have to get to in a different type of conversation, but I just wish you so much luck. And, I will put all the links. We have a discount code we'll put in the show notes. I hope people will download your app and start using it. And just give it a shot and give you feedback. And I hope they'll subscribe to this channel so they can hear updates. Maybe we'll check in with you in a few months and see what your pickle. I feel like I am now challenged with making sure that pickleball outpaces tennis with your app. So that is what I would like to see. I don't think there should be a competition between tennis and pickleball. I really do think they can coexist, but it would be so nice to have, you come on here and say, wow, we now have 50-75% pickleball players that know about your app and they're using it.
I mean, I would love for that to happen. Yeah. For all the listeners, viewers out there, like, please download it. Let's get your friends on pickleball. Let's outtake tennis. I'd be happy to.
So, and I really like this rating system element too, Swapnil. I think that anyone who's trying to do a rating system has their head in the right place, but we haven't solved the problem. And and again, like, I don't know how much this is a problem in tennis, but I know in pickleball, whether it's tournament play or just rec play, people are they struggle with how to pair up, and you could end up finally getting on the court, spending your perfect little hour and a half. That's all you have. And you end up playing with a beginner because you don't know and they don't know. Yeah. And we love beginners, but maybe that's, not, you can see how it becomes frustrating.
Yeah. Then it's like, it's not fun for anybody, right? It's not fun for the beginner. It's not fun for the advanced player. Like, it's like, what are we doing here? Yeah. So yeah, for sure. And I think it's interesting because like, that's in the same like realm of problems as like just finding a court as well. Right. So you could imagine like down the road, if we can just fully automate this, it could be like Uber. It's like, tomorrow I want to play at 7 PM, find a court, find a player. Let's just, let's get it all set up for me automatically. And I don't need to worry about anything. Like, that would really be like the, 11 out of 10 experience, right? So I think like,
and put me in my self-driving car and get me there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We'll even have an API with Waymo. So like, that will all.
Exactly. Well, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I wish you all the luck. I feel like you're clearly on the right track, and we hope you'll come back in a few months and let us know how pickleball has overruled what's going on there.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to talking again in the future.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to Simply Pickleball. We will be back very soon with great interviews, discussions, and more all about pickleball. Don't forget to subscribe to our channels on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, or any of your favorite podcasting outlets. Until next time, happy dinking.